You're listening to the 50-50 Ball Podcast with Renee Canales and Carlos Cortez.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the 50-50 Ball Podcast. I'm Carlos Cortez.
And I'm Renee Canales.
And we're coming to you from my mama's basement. Just kidding.
And my apartment.
We hope everybody's doing well during this quarantine. We have a special episode for you guys. We have Alexis Guerreros of the Soccer Cooligans on the show today. We had a great time.
It was actually hysterical. I definitely enjoyed it. I wasn't as into it in the beginning as you were in terms of like listening to the podcast.
Yeah.
Like the Cooligans, but like after the after the viewing party that we had for the Liverpool Champions League final, you get into it, you start enjoying it a lot more. You see their comedic roots and how funny they are, and we saw Alexis in his element at this point when he came on. It was hysterical, dude. I thought it was a great time.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. We definitely got to know him a little bit more on the personal side, and it was cool. We got to talk about soccer, got to see what his views are on the current status of the MLS. We gave him a little background on us.
And he followed me on Twitter, which is awesome.
Yeah, he did. I did get a follow back as well.
Well, because we were, and obviously we won't give too much of the interview, but, we spoke a little bit about jerseys and whatnot, and I saw that tweet from the Houston Dino, like, which jersey, like, the bracket and which jersey. I'm like, gotta send this to Alexis.
Yeah.
He has to see this. It was legit a direct correlation. So it was pretty fun, man. It was a great time. He's such a cool dude, down to earth. He's Latino like us. So, obviously, we connect in different ways. But awesome interview. I hope you guys really do enjoy that.
Yeah, and he's not the most common Latino that you would expect to be following soccer, right?
That definitely is not at all what I expected.
For me, it made it even more interesting to see why he was following soccer, and his story as to how he ended up following soccer is hysterical.
Yeah, no, he gave us, like you said, a great look into his background from his upbringing and, his grandfather, which led him to where he is now, the teams that he, everything. It's a great interview. You guys are definitely going to enjoy it. You might laugh a little bit, but overall, it was very knowledgeable. It was a great time. I know I definitely thoroughly enjoyed it. I know you definitely enjoyed it. And hopefully, as time goes on, we'll be able to get more of guests in which you guys can actually listen to and have fun and engage with. And obviously, you can ask us, questions on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at hashtag Ask5050, if there's anything you guys want to know. So that's how you can stay engaged with us. Definitely a lot of fun.
Yeah, but we do want to take a moment and thank all the essential workers out there for giving their time, giving their all. We do appreciate you guys. We appreciate everything that you're doing for us and for whoever needs your help. So we want to say thank you.
Yeah, definitely. We have some essential workers in our direct family. We have teachers in our family who are working pretty much nonstop throughout the days. We have people in the medical field, like our cousins. Definitely a special shout out to them. Thank you very much for everything you do, putting your lives at risk just to help us get back to the quote-unquote normal that we were used to living in, which is not going to be what we're going to be getting into moving forward. We are able to do what we're doing right now because of them. So thank you very much, fam.
Yeah, this is the new norm. Continue to practice social distancing. Don't go out unless you need to, because the longer we continue to practice this, the quicker it'll all be resolved.
And this definitely goes to, the younger generation that loves to go out there and loves to party and loves to be together. Listen, just take this as a little break. There are a lot more important things than going out there and hanging out with your friends.
Yeah.
And that goes out to a lot of people. And, we're ones that, we like to go out. We like to be outside. We like to be social in certain aspects. But here we are. We're taking an L on it. It's for the better good of not only for us and our families, but for the entire world. So it's the best thing that we can do for now.
Completely agree with you.
All right. So without wasting too much time, ladies and gentlemen, coming up next, we have the interview with Alexis Guerreros. We hope you all enjoy it. And we'll be back with another episode shortly. But definitely enjoy this. Here comes Alexis Guerreros of the Soccer Cooligans Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, please help me welcome the man, the myth, the legend, the pizza guru himself, although he's an NYCFC fan, Alexis Guerreros.
What's up? Wow, this is the first soccer podcast I've done where my name has been pronounced correctly, like the way my mother would when she was upset at me. Which is all the time. Yeah.
We appreciate
you. Yeah, absolutely.
I've been a fan of yours for a long time, and we've actually crossed paths before. but I don't think you'll remember just by looking at me.
Why, were you wearing like face paint or something?
Nah. You want to know where we met?
I remember. Where?
You guys hosted an event in Astoria for the Champions League final.
Oh, at the Bohemian at the Hall.
Yeah. So my name was called to win a prize, and I wasn't there.
If you don't get here.
Yeah, and a buddy of mine was like, no, he's coming. Wait for him, he's coming.
I was two blocks away.
Through. I was two you blocks came away.
Flop sweat.
And I was wearing a Raven shirt, and you're like, look at this guy, straight out of Baltimore. Like, you're like, do you even know what soccer is? Yeah, that's so for everybody listening, that's actually how I even thought of doing a soccer podcast, because you were the inspiration for it.
Oh, thank you, man. That means a lot. Dude, that makes me so happy to hear. I know people are like, oh, so many people doing podcast, whatever, yo, the more the merrier. You know what I mean? Like, in comedy, it's a little different. Like, I'm a stand-up comic for 10 years. Like, everybody eats. You know what I mean? Like, there's more than enough spots for everybody. Like, there's still people like, I do it sometimes too. Like, I'm not a hero or nothing. Like, I get bitter when I see someone get something that I was up for or that I thought I should have gotten or I wanted. You know what I mean? But it's like, it's whatever. You know what I mean? Like, at the end of the day, like, there's more than enough spots for everybody. Like, Hooligans is on TV. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's just everyone can win in this business. So when another podcast starts up and to hear that Hooligans had anything to do with it, that makes me so happy, especially to see Latino dudes talking about Latino, anybody, by the way, women or men, America is different, because whenever the business used to want to feed the Latino market, they would do it in Spanish, or they would do it like from a specific country spin. And just to see I'm assuming y'all are second generation, or at least y'all talking like you are, you know what I mean? Like, speaking English, whatever, like that second generation Latino, there's a lot of us out here. And like, yo, like, why can't we get something the way we talk, you know, a little Spanglish, you know?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
we're definitely victims of the Spanglish.
Hell yeah, dude. Like, there's so many, I didn't even realize we were doing it. You know how sometimes we talk, it's like, yo, I'm gonna go to La Tienda, what do you want? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it just comes out. Like, we don't know.
Yeah.
We used to get emails from people saying, I'm learning so much Spanish, listen to you guys. And I thought it was like racist. I was like, what the fuck you mean? Like, we ain't even talking Spanish. I'm like, oh wait, we did. Like, I have to go back and listen. We like three sentences all in Spanish out of nowhere. But it's like, you know, your brain just works in both at the same time.
I mean, a funny story about that viewing party was, we left because the game was at that point was pretty much over. Liverpool already, you know, had the 2-0 lead at that point. So we're like, all right, let's go eat. We're starving. Because the food there was like, everybody was like hammering for the food. There was no food available. So we're like, let's
go eat. The line was wild because we were supposed to get fed. And we're like, yo, where's the food? They're like, we have a tech waiting in line. And I was like, wait, the owners, like the people who hired us were there at the VIP booth, and there was like buffet set up for them. I'm like, there's six of them and enough food for 30 people. Give us some of that food. And they started bringing us food down, luckily. But go ahead, you were saying?
It was ridiculous. So like we left. So Carlos, he's scoffing down a Philly cheesesteak at this point. Like, he's hands deep in a Philly cheesesteak. We're at a spot 2 blocks away that we grew up going to. And he gets the call from his boy. He's like, yo, they just called your name. You won. He's like, chowing down his cheesesteak. He's like, I got to run, man. Tell him to hold on. Wait for me. And he leaves the cheesesteak there. Me and the other boy were looking at each other like, damn.
I get about halfway down the block, and I'm puffing and puffing. I'm licking my fingers for all the the sandwich I was eating.
That's hilarious to me, because I remember that, because I was like, it was like a Latino name.
Carlos Cortez.
Yeah. So I remember the Latino name. I'm like, I'm not letting this dude not win this. You know what I mean? It was like low key, just a little racist. I was like, nah, man, I'm not letting some white girl come up here and get this jersey. I'm like, we're going to wait for Carlos, yo. We're going to do it.
And I remember as soon as I walked in, my buddy sees me. He's like, look, there he is. And you guys are like, hey. And everybody that was around you guys just like, Carlos.
Yeah, well, I love that too, because like the more I built it up, the more people were like looking at that gate opening to see people coming through. I was like, yo, if he doesn't show up, this isn't going to pay off. You know what I mean? Like, this dude needs to show up. So when you ran through, it was just perfect.
Yeah, so shout out to my boy AJ, who actually was the one who was like fighting with you guys to wait for me.
What did you end up getting? Yeah. I think you got a USA kit?
No, I got a signed Liverpool ball.
That's right, the Liverpool ball. Yeah, that thing was, my God, people would have fought you for that thing.
Yeah, well, I left right after. I disappeared. Yeah.
I actually said, like, I wish you would have come through that gate just, like, all in Liverpool stuff. You know what I mean? Like, you just got so schmizz that you had to leave. You know? Like, yeah. That would have been great.
So tell us a little bit about yourself and, you know, how you got into soccer.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Cuban kid from Newark. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we ain't supposed to like soccer. You know what I mean? Like, my grandfather, I say this on stage sometimes, but this is a true story. Like, my grandfather wanted me to play baseball. Like, everyone in Cuba, Yankee fans at this point. Because for those people who left Cuba, like, in the 70s or 80s, like, the Yankees were the only ones who had a signal strong enough to get there in radio. So if you had like a good enough antenna, or if you had like an antenna at the top of your house, you would be able to pick up Yankee games. So like the whole island, just Yankee fans, you know what I mean? Plus they kept winning. So it's not that difficult to be their fan. So I grew up like, yo, you're going to be a Yankee. You know, like my grandfather was like, no, no puede ser nada. Tiene que ser un Yankee. Mira. And my mom's like, doctor, abogado. And my grandfather was like, un Yankee. You know, like my grandfather wanted to be like a lawyer who plays for the Yankees. Like my grandfather just wanted me to be a Yankee no matter what. And he taught me how to play, how to be a catcher. Cause he was like, there's not a lot of them. You know what I mean? Like you might have a shot. Nobody wants to be a catcher. And I told him, I was like, yo, I want to play soccer. And he was like, oh, coño, mira. And he's like, put on the TV. He's like, mira que gordo. Okay. Like, you know, he's like, look, mira, eso que juegan balompié, muy, tú sabes, tú eres más. You know, like he was doing everything he could to get me away from soccer. But I just loved it because a lot of the kids I grew up around, like I grew up around a lot of Caribbeans, a lot of Trini, Jamaicans, Grenadians, Guyanese, a lot of Brazilians and Portuguese in Newark. So like soccer was the thing that they all had in common. Like, even if everyone hated each other, even if we were all beef, and like soccer was the thing that brought everyone together. So it was like at the end of the day, it was like I just kind of like got attracted to it. And then FIFA became like a dope thing. And then we all started playing FIFA. And from there, it just took off. And I just became a massive Arsenal fan. And it is what it is. Like, I know. What, y'all also Tottenham? I mean, Jesus.
No. He's actually a Manchester United fan. I'm actually a Dortmund fan. I just the recent gears that Arsenal has had, that's why I shook my head.
Yeah, I shook my head because you're an Arsenal fan.
I should be shaking my head because I'm an Arsenal fan as well. They've had a terrible run. When I started liking them, things were gravy, you know? Not so much now. But like it just became something that like it connected me with people. Like even like I met kids from like other countries or whatever. Like no matter what, soccer was like the thing, right? And it was like all the Puerto Rican and Dominican kids around me were like, why you like this sport? I was like, hell, I don't know, everyone else does. Like, why are we messing up? Like I don't want to watch a 4-hour baseball game, you know? So little by little I just started falling a lot more in love with soccer. When I became a comedian, it was like just something that like you have a lot of time on your hands. So I could watch all the Champions League games during the week. I could watch all the, like, other than like the 7 a.m. starts, I could watch all the other stuff. Cause like I wake up at like 11:30 noon, like the time. I'm like, this is perfect. So soccer just really matched with my life. And little by little, like when NYC, like we went to some Rebel games. The first game I ever went to a Rebel arena was Thierry Henry's first match against Tottenham, actually, when he came in at the second half and he scored. And I just remember, yo, the Rebel fans hated me because I was wearing Arsenal clothing and I was standing in the supporter section because that's the ticket the guy sold me, okay? And, yo, they hated me. Like, they not hated me, but they weren't like, yo, welcome. They were like, why are you wearing Arsenal? I'm like, well, I don't even know why I wouldn't, because Thierry Henry's here. He's like a hero of mine, you know? And I was like, all right, the team is cool. Like, I went to Metro Stars games when I was a kid. First game I ever went to was a World Cup match in 94. So, like, of course, we had to go see, like, Metro Stars games. So I remember I was there in LA Galaxy's first game ever at Giant Stadium. I remember, like, loving the sport, but I really didn't connect with it as much as I did Arsenal because it was almost easier because it wasn't live. And as your kid, like, no one's buying you tickets, so it was almost easier to connect with that. And then when NYCFC started, I was like, all right, $300 for a season ticket, that's not that bad, right? No offense, Red Bull fans, but it's one swipe, all right? I got an unlimited, you know what I mean? It's a lot easier. So I was like, boom, yo, I already know how to get to a Yankee game. You know, I kind of connected with my grandfather too, wanted me to be a Yankee. I'm kind of going to Yankee Stadium. So like, I was like, boom, another comedian, Christian, started coming along. We both bought season tickets and we made everyone around us laugh. So little by little, I was like, yo, why don't we just do this on microphones? We both have had podcasts. We know how to talk on microphones. It's what we do for a living. And boom, like from there, it just like, I mean, I do this, but that's over a span of 4 years. You know, at first we're like, we're comedians. We have a soccer podcast. And people are like, why? Who the hell would want to listen to two comedians talk about soccer? And I was like, uh-oh, you know?
Who was your favorite player growing up? Since you say, you know, you got into Arsenal, you know, you started watching their games. Who was your favorite player once you started really gravitating towards soccer as a sport?
I'll give you two names because I cheered more for Thierry Henry because I was just always in awe of what he could do. But I, in my head, like, even when I play basketball, I'm like, I'm the weight of a power forward, the height of a point guard, but I don't have the skills of a point guard, but I'm a really good passer. Like, I always, like, I love threading the needle. I love that kind of stuff. So for me, like for a long time, Bergkamp was the guy. And I would just be able to like watch highlights every once in a while. I'd catch a game on like tape delay or whatever. We didn't have a lot of money, so we didn't have like cable or satellites and stuff. But as I got older, like Cesc Fabregas, like watching him, like those are the guys that I always like. I'm like, oh, like I wish, like comedians love to watch other comics that don't have the same style of act as them. So like I'll watch someone who's like a very like sort of perfect word chooser, you know, because I'm not that. I talk a lot, you know, or I'll watch someone who's like a little absurd because I just can't, my brain don't work that way. So I love to watch the guys who just, they see something like 4 or 5 seconds before anyone else does, before the camera could even, like the kind of person who makes a pass and the camera has to shift real fast because even the guy filming it didn't know that that was a possibility, you know, like that's the kind of stuff I love. And that's another reason why I really love the way New York Red Bull plays. A little more under Jesse Marsh, although shouts to Chris Armas, though, right? You got to have Cuban, have Puerto Rican as a coach.
Yeah.
Let's go, dog.
Long Island, too.
Yeah, hell yeah, dude. I hope it. You know, his mother-in-law came to see me perform.
Really?
I performed in Long Island. I made a bunch of jokes, and on the way off the stage, she's like, this lady grabs my hand. She's like, are you really a soccer fan? And I was like, yeah, I do this show called The Cooligans. She's like, I know, that's why we came. I'm like, then why are you asking me this? She goes, do you know? Well, if you're a real soccer fan, you know who Chris Armas is. And I was like, yeah, he's the coach of the Red Bulls. Yeah. And he goes, well, that's my son. That's my son-in-law. That's awesome. And I was like, oh, wow, for real? She goes, he's a great guy. You should have him on your show. I'm like, you should tell him to come on the show. Yeah. Like, make it easier for me.
Yeah. I'm just curious to know, like, when you first thought of doing a soccer-specific podcast, how did it translate to you being a comedian to then mixing it with like soccer? Like was that like hard for you guys to do?
Here's the thing: like every other sport seems like, at least to us, seems like they have people that are specifically just funny, but are considered not like experts, but like their go-to people for that sport. Like my buddy, Paul Verzi, who's a hilarious comedian, absolutely hilarious, great special on Comedy Central. You can check it out on their YouTube channel and all that. I opened for him a bunch. So he's a really close friend of mine. I'm always at his house for like 4th of July. He gets hired by like NFL Network to come on and just be funny. And he knows a lot about the NFL. And, you know, that happened way after we started Cooligans. But I knew people that were doing these like sort of stints in sports, you know, like they were comedians, but they would go talk about sports. And in the back of my head, I'm like, yo, why aren't comedians talking about soccer? And then I would like try to look in Europe, and what they consider a comedian in Europe most of the time is a joke. It's like, you do funny hand movements, you know what I mean? Get off the stage, you know? Yeah. You know, like, or they'll just like play the piano. But there's some really funny people that like will kind of get a chance to talk about soccer, but it's very dry. And I was like, yo, how come there's no one that talks like us? You know, they started after, but like Adesis and Miro style. Like, why aren't there like dudes from the street, like where we're from? Like, I don't want to say a hood dude because I'm not from the projects or whatever, but like I'm from Newark, you know what I mean? Like, and Christian's from Sunset Park, which used to be called Gunset Park. Like, we know what's up. Like, we know the deal, right? Like, how come there's not dudes like us? How come there isn't that like slightly like street, slightly hip hop sensibility to soccer? It was like, for the lack of a better term, most of the soccer stuff was like very suburban. So like, we could talk about soccer like the way we talk to our friends, but can we also be funny, right? And I'm like, yo, would even soccer fans want to hear funny? Like, you know, look, I mean, I bet you GSU's not a fan of us. You know what I mean? Right. Yeah, like, yeah. You know, those dudes are like, they're just a little like, to them, soccer is like a religion. Why would you joke about a religion? Which I respect. Like, that's for you. Like, you listen to Total Soccer Show. You listen to Extra Time. Like, we'll be over here. If you want to be silly, come with us. We didn't know if people would come. So we said, you know, like comedians, we got nothing to do till 7 o'clock. So might as well try it. You know, like my wife is happy when I wake up before noon, you know? So I'm like, we've got no pressure. I said to Christian, I was like, what else are you doing? I was doing pizza tours at the time. I was literally just getting paid to talk to people about pizza and to tell them their favorite pizza's trash, you know? So I was like, I got a lot of time on my hands, you know? So we decided to do it. And I will say that I had the idea that I was like, yo, this is going to be huge. But I'm also kind of shocked that it worked out as well as it did, because it's like, you know, it took a lot. I don't think I can convert comedy fans to soccer, but we weren't sure we can convert soccer fans to want to hear about comedy in a soccer sort of sensibility.
Being that we are Red Bulls fans, I was at that 7-0 game.
Great. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, 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 yeah. No, because I was listening to the episode that you guys had with Dax McCarty.
Uh-huh.
And
the one where he wouldn't stop talking about the
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I'm listening to it and it's bringing back all the memories. So what was your reaction to being in that stadium while NYCFC is actually getting smoked on the field, you know, being that, you know, you had your tickets, you sat with your supporters and whatnot. What was your reaction to that game?
I mean, a lot of people left. I'm different, Doug. Like, I'm not going nowhere. Like, I don't leave until you blow the whistle, you know, unless I have to. Like, there's times where I've had spots where I have to leave the game and I hate it. I mean, comedy is all I really care about in the world. So like, I'll do it. You know what I mean? But like, I want to be there till the whistle ends and whatever. We're losing. Like, to be honest, even like, you know, I joke about it with Dax or whatever, and we're going to be doing something this Friday, but like, once it's like 3-0, you kind of go numb, you know what I mean? Like, at the end, it's like, who cares if it's, I don't care if it's 45-0, blow that second, is there a mercy rule? Can we blow that whistle and move on? What hurt me the most is that it was Vieira, you know, like, yo, like, I love Vieira. Like, Vieira came in, but he was such, and it's like, Dax told the story, and I'm glad he did, because like, every fan sat back and was like, why are we still doing the thing? Like, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing and expecting a different result. Like, that's the actual definition of it. Like, why is he doing this? Like, whatever, yo, go back to the whiteboard tomorrow, but for now, park that bus. You know, my guy, stop the bleeding, you know? Like, it just, to me, it just seemed like such a stubborn move, and hopefully he learned, and it's something that'll never go away. But I like to think that the rivalry is kind of evened out a little bit since then. You know, I think the way Red Bulls play works really well in a stadium like Yankee Stadium. So I like to think that now it's not an automatic win, but those first 3 years, it just seemed like you guys, like, once you lined up, once they blew the first whistle, we were like, I wonder how much we're going to lose by today. You know,
the press that Jesse Marsh just enabled this team to play kind of really hindered NYCFC in that game, especially.
Yeah.
You hear it in the episode with Dax, how he says, Jesse told them in the locker room, they're not going to change their style of play. We're just going to keep going after them. And it was ridiculous. 4 goals in the second half. And I mean, that's what it was. Like, game after game after game against NYCFC in those 3 years that Jesse Marsh was there, 2.5, 3 years, whatever it was.
Like, I respect Jesse going to, you know, going up the rebel ladder. But to me, like, what he did while he was – because, look, yo, he laid a stinker in Montreal. Like, that's – everyone knows that.
Absolutely.
But Montreal was also, like, that's a tough place at that time to try to get something going. Like, hopefully Thierry has a better move. Like, Montreal's, like, the team I kind of, like, hope does well always, because they – it's a great market. It's now, like, my second favorite city in the world. Like, you know, it's just a great place to be. So I hope they do better, because I really love the soccer culture there. They have a great thing going. But, yeah, it's one of those things where, like, I look back and I'm like, man, but Jesse Marsh, like, I wanted him to be the men's national team coach. Like, dude, I love Greg Berhalter, but yo, that's like, I think, like, if what Americans are constantly told is that, yo, our players are too athletic and not tactically skilled enough, well, then what's better than a press? Like, yo, if we all press this shit out of every team that comes here, we may not win the World Cup, but, you know, like, right away, but we're going to be able to use our talents to our best capability. And if we're all, like, what Sir Alex Ferguson said, we have square feet, which means we can only run straight, left, or right. Like, we're not tactical, but we have hearts that don't stop. Well, if that's true, and we have like a high protein diet in this country, and we develop strong athletes, let them run all over that field like chickens without heads, like Connor Lade used to. And, you know, yeah like, yo, let's go. Let's do that press.
I have arguments with people all the time, especially, you know, when we're talking about soccer, and you know, they try to defend, you know, the hiring of Greg Berhalter. I'm not saying I disagree with it. I'm not saying I don't like it. Greg Berhalter was a successful coach, you know, with the Columbus Crew. But if you look at just style of play, wins and losses, trips to the playoffs, Jesse Marsh was far and above more qualified than any other head coach that could have been chosen at that time, unless you're going the European route. I mean, just look at the way that team played, always in the playoffs, second round, Eastern Conference Finals, always on the verge, but never got to that point. But I understand that. But I mean, you just look at success rate, and he would have been far out the right head coach to choose at this point.
I agree, but you know, I think Jesse more than anything turned it down and made it apparent he didn't want it, because
to go to Europe.
But I also think, like, it's unfortunate that the timing was what it is. I'm happy with Greg Berhalter for now, and I understand some of the faults and some of the missteps, but I see a plan in his head, and that, to me, to some degree, has calmed me a bit, because it's like, whatever, it's like a sailboat. You know, it's not going to get faster than this unless the winds can, you know what I mean? Like, we just got to keep going in the route we're going. But the one thing about Jesse Marsh that would have been impressive is that Greg Berhalter brings plan and a system Jesse Marsh maybe could really only succeed the way he has within that system, but he understood it well enough to go to Europe. That means he understood it well enough to tell, to bring that through like the youth ranks. And pressing is one of those things that doesn't go away. Like long balling is the only thing that works against pressing. Right, and no one's going route one. No one in Europe is going route one unless it's like a really small country. And, you know, for the most part, Latin American countries don't want to do that either. Central American countries don't want to do that either. So as far as I'm concerned, I think pressing would have made it easy to get through the hex. It would have made it easy to get through the group at the very least. It would have made it tough to beat us in a group, regardless if we were in a group of death in a World Cup. So at the end of the day, I'm like, the press to me seems like the way to go, as opposed to trying to play a game that the Europeans have been doing for 40 years or 30 years at this point and doing it better than us. You know what I mean? But whatever. That's why Rebel fans can't get too mad at me, all right?
I appreciate it because I at least have somebody other than Carlos who understands my rationale of thinking, because I get tired of repeating the same thing over and over and over. And like, people just don't understand.
Yeah, I agree.
I saw that you guys recently, within the past year, you guys took a trip to Germany.
Yeah.
Right? You guys got to see
Eintracht versus Bayern, and then we saw Dusseldorf versus Cologne.
How was your experience in Germany?
I've watched games in Europe before. I did a whole comedy tour through Ireland and the UK, so I got to see a couple games out there, and I got to see an Arsenal match for the first time. Like, it was dope, right? Like, I got to go to the Emirates, and dude, I gotta be honest, man, the atmosphere in Germany blows the UK away. Blows it away. The only atmosphere I've ever seen that I think is comparable to that Eintracht match is probably the LAFC versus LA Galaxy match. When we were in the stands in the 3252, which we weren't supposed to be, we got some friends who got us in just to like walk through it. At first I was filming, and they were like, "Dude, like you're gonna get knocked out. You're gonna get duffed if you got a phone out. Like, you got to put it away," because they were doing that jump for LA Football Club, Ole, yep. Which, like, unless you're a 3252 member, you're not supposed to be in there. But like, the captain and the head of the supporters group was like, "No, we want these two guys to witness this because we want them to talk about it on the show." And I've never, like, when I think of what soccer in America can be, and I said this on a podcast I did, they said, "What's the worst atmosphere in MLS soccer?" And I said Rebel Arena. Now let me explain. The reason I said Rebel Arena is because when I look at 101, section 101, the South Ward, you guys are killing it. And the rest of the fucking stadium is a bunch of dads looking at their phones. It's like, that you deserve better as Rebel fans, because y'all give so much. And there's other pockets that do it too, but like, y'all give so much. It's like, when I was at LAFC, I looked around, I'm like, yo, the whole stadium is jumping. And it's Wally Latino. And it's like, to me, it's like, it was like, this is what American soccer is. For so long, the executives wanted American soccer to be like the German dad and the white kids and the dog, you know, sitting at a station wagon, having a hamburger before the game. And it's like, nah, if we're being for real, we're the reason the culture is where it should be in this country, is because we're Latinos and we love the game. And like, going to LACFC was like, damn, yo, they got it like locked. Everyone seems to be on board. Everywhere you look, there's like celebrities on the side of the pitch standing up, yep, going crazy. It was just like a moment. It felt like a coming of age. It felt like the end of a good movie. I was like, yo, like, we kind of did it. We made it. Eintracht is exactly like that. Like, from the moment you step, like, on the train, your season ticket gets you a free, like, say, subway pass. Like, you get a free ride to the game. So even being on the train, they're focused on how to cheer for this team and how to chant and how to support this club. It's just one of those things where it's like, it's the energy you feel when the moment you walk on that train, you walk into the stadium, you walk in, even while they're ordering sausages or whatever they're getting, like, you feel that energy, and it doesn't stop, dude. Like, they're just as strong and chanting just as hard in the 92nd minute as they are in the first. And it's like, you know, you sit back like that, you feel it go through your chest as they're chanting. That to me is something I'll never forget. And to beat Bayern 5-1. And where, yeah, everyone beforehand was like, this is going to be a tough game, I don't know. And just for them to win like that, and I felt bad for Alfonso Davies because he got bodied. It was just 90, it was 90 minutes of him getting roasted. But, you know, for the most part, that experience to me is something I'll never forget. And then the Dusseldorf match, they have a hotel in the stadium. Like, the one part of the stadium is a hotel. So at night, after the game, we were all done with the tour, and like, a bunch of us were saying goodbye, and we all go get drinks at the bar, and you could walk out. The balcony of the bar is a stand in the stadium. Oh, so wow, we're inside the closed stadium. And by the way, Germans hate this because they're like, it's football only and we should not be selling anything, but I get it. But at the end of the match, we're inside of a closed stadium, out like in it, having a beer. It's like, this is one of the greatest experiences ever.
Yeah,
like to me, Germany does everything right. It's just a shame. It's just a shame that unfortunately, like because they speak German, no one's going to be able to sort of, Americans won't connect to it as much. Like the English league is easy. Every content you watch, you understand what's happening. It's a little tough when it comes to German.
I actually went to a LAFC LA Galaxy game about 2 years ago. LAFC was up 2-0 and then they blow the lead late or whatever it was. And I 100% agree with you. I haven't been to any games outside of the United States or Colombia, but dude, the atmosphere in that stadium is so electric.
Yeah.
It is insane. I sat on the side of the 3252 and all game long, they're just jumping up and down, chanting. It doesn't matter the score. They're just as loud as everybody else in that stadium. I mean, the atmosphere was so electric. It was contagious. Like, yeah. I was there. I didn't want to wear any Red Bull gear or anything like that, so I'm just chilling on the side. I'm just wearing a regular shirt. And everybody there is like, come on, like, get up. Because I'm sitting down. I'm like, I want to watch the game. Everybody's like, get up. You got to chant, or we're kicking you out of here. I'm like, okay, let me get up too. I'll start chanting. Everything was insane in that stadium, man. It really was.
It's so funny because a lot of fans hate LAFC. They're like, oh, they're, you know, whatever. I think it's because obviously they're doing well. But I'm like, if you go, you got nothing but respect for those fans. Just go to one of those games. And by the way, I don't know what they do in that stadium, but it's built perfectly for chanting. Like, you hear, if a dude sneezes on the other side of the field, you hear it. It's like wild.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, did you fart? He was like, no, it was a guy in section 809. Oh, all right.
And you're so close to the field too. Like, it's compact and everything, but you're so close. You see every single aspect of the field, every angle. You see,
just don't go to the bathroom. Just don't go to the bathroom. You might get arrested.
Yeah, probably. You see Bob Bradley sweating. You see the pain in the middle of his forehead popping out. Like it's awesome, man. It really is.
And it's so dope. Like the game was there. The rapper, when I was there, I was like, yo, the game is here. Like, come on. Right? Like, yo, we kind of made it a little bit.
The reason why I wanted to ask you is I actually went to see two Champions League games when I was in Germany. I went to the Allianz and I went to Signal Iduna Park.
Wow.
And when I was at Allianz, like you said, the entire game, they stand up. And I was around people that were older than my parents. And the entire game, they're still 90 minutes standing up cheering.
Yeah, like, it's insane.
In Signal Iduna Park, I was opposite of the yellow wall. And like the whole game, flags are waving. People are cheering. Hands are up. Everybody's jumping.
Germany reminds me, every German game is like I don't know if you guys watch Argentinian football, but like Racing or like San Lorenzo. It's like that, but without the stabbings, you know?
You can say the thing about like Boca and River. It's the same thing.
For sure. Are you Cali or Millonarios or?
No, I'm actually, so my mom's from Barranquilla. So I grew up to like Atlético Junior.
Yeah.
And it's also because, like, so I'm a junior. So, like, whenever I went to Colombia, so there's a funny story behind that. My parents used to go for carnavales all the time.
Yeah.
So while we're in Barranquilla, one of their friends kept hearing Junior Tu Papa, because that's a chant, like, all the fans out there say, Junior Tu Papa, Junior Tu Papa. So they turned to my parents and said, like, why are they talking about Junior?
Yeah.
Like, what does he have to do anything around here? And he didn't realize that the team name out there was Atletico Junior. So he's like, he thought they were talking about me being a dad to everybody else around there. I'm like, no, that has nothing to do with me.
They just picture you walking around slapping people in the face. Like, man, you run shit down
there. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so Atletico Junior is a team I root for out there. I do watch a game. So,
yeah.
We had like a different experience growing up because we kind of like inherited soccer because both our dads played it. Not professionally, but they grew up playing it, and then we got into it. We grew up playing at Flushing Meadows. Like we played basically all of our entire life, and so once we got around to seeing what type of impact podcasts can have on like the community, we started engaging. We started inviting our friends to games, and like little by little, we saw I saw the impact that you guys had on just the general audience, and I was like, what's to stop us from having the same impact on the people around us? Start small and it'll eventually branch out bigger and bigger.
What do you got to lose? What? You're talking to each other once a week for an hour? Like, what do you got to lose? Like, do what you love. And if you guys want to make a bigger impact in soccer, this is how you do it. Like, especially soccer fans, you know, like if you're in El Salvador, if you're in Colombia, you don't have to look that far to find content about soccer. There are people, everyone's talking about it. Here, you got to go out and find it yourself. And to some degree, it's like the way you're finding is stuff that regular people are making. So like sometimes we just have to make it ourselves. And that's why I love the where American soccer is right now and the fact that we could walk into it. Because if I started doing an NBA podcast, no one would care. You know what I mean? Like, you could turn on ESPN and watch stuff about the NBA. If I made a Giants podcast, you could watch. First of all, that would be terrible. But why would you? You know what I mean? I'm a Giants fan, but I see what we have. You know, our fan base is all 75 and older. But if you turn on ESPN, they're talking about the NFL. No one's talking about us. We got to talk about us. And the first time I had a meeting with MLS, they were like, "Who are you guys? What are you guys doing?" They kind of called us in like after like 2 years of being a podcast, just to see who we were, just at like a general meeting. And they were like, "What made you want to start this?" I was like, "Cause y'all ain't talking like this." Yeah. I was like, "If one of you people started talking like this, it'd be racist." You know what I mean? Like, y'all are white dudes, and that's fine. You know what I mean? But like, we had a different idea of what hip hop, like to us, like we play hip hop while we're playing FIFA, like that. We have a different mentality when it comes to soccer, and we're funny. So let's just do that. You know what I mean? And we wanted to see it because who else? It's not like you guys are going to do it, you know?
So let me ask you this. What do you think the MLS can do to engage fans in a way that you think will engage fans to attend more games, to just talk about it more?
I think, for the most part, I think they're doing the right things, right? I think MLS is starting to realize that it's more about the supporters and not the families, right? And focus on the people that are diehards. Focus on the people that want to be there versus trying to convince people that don't want to be there to go, because that kills the atmosphere. I think it starts at a club level, you know, making sure that the club is engaged with the community. Like, even when NYCFC started, like, they were really engaged with the community. You know what I mean? It wasn't just the superstars that got people out there. It's like, yeah, certainly it doesn't hurt to have Pirlo and Lampard and Villa there, for sure. You know, it didn't hurt to have Rafa Marquez and to have Thierry Henry and to have Tim Cahill, there you go. Like, it didn't have to have. I think Luke Rogers' card is right there.
Oh my God! Yeah, dude. Blast from the past.
Yeah, dude. He was one of my favorite people in the world because I think he wasn't allowed back in the country because he got in a fight. And I remember watching a Red Bull game where he was angry and he just decided to kick a ball and it almost hit a kid in a wheelchair, like sitting right by the side of the pitch. The dude is a maniac, man.
I mean, just ask Kaku. He's done something like that before.
He's
the stands. I mean. There was a game, I think it was last year against Kansas City. Right.
Didn't that dude try to sue Kaku?
Yeah, he did, actually.
Yeah.
He wanted all the smoke, man.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, Kaku's not afraid, dude. Nah. Don't let the braces fool you. I think MLS has to, like, and this is something I told the people at MLS, is like, y'all can't do everything. Not everything needs to be state radio. You know what I mean? To some degree, if we got hired, like, if Cooligans had gotten hired by MLS, it wouldn't be the same show. I don't think we'd have the fans we do because we'd have to follow their rules. And I think to some degree, that's why people come to us, is because we don't have to follow those rules. So they can't do everything. But I think what they could do is make it easier for put a little bit more of a spotlight on the podcasts that are doing a great job, like what you guys are doing and what Total Soccer Show's doing and what we're doing and what a bunch of other people are doing. Like, give them a spotlight. Retweet us. You know what I mean? Like, give us all like a little bit of a boost. And I think they started doing that with the podcast list. Like, that's pretty cool. Like, now they have a list. There's not that many links and it's not that easy to go through, but it's a first step. So I think at the end of the day, like, MLS has to be like the engine that turns the wheel for a lot of people, but they can't be, you know, they can't be everything. You know what I mean? Like, extra time will always be extra time, but like, you know, those guys can't say everything they want to say and they can't go out and do their own podcast, but they can help us when we say it. To promote that, you know what I mean?
So I have a question for you, because this is something that actually pisses me off beyond belief when people say that there are only four major sports in the United States. Wow. It pisses me off beyond belief, because soccer is MLS is a major sport here in the United States. You have international players either in their prime or just outside of their prime coming to the United States to play soccer. How long do you think it'll take Major League Soccer to actually get the recognition that it deserves here in the United States? I've heard people say 25 years. I've heard people say it'll never be recognized as a major sport. It'll never take over any of the sports here in the United States. What do you think?
I think it's going to be a lot. It takes a lot I think it's generational shifts, you know, like, it kind of sucks, but like, I think my generation won't see it within my group of friends, but like the kids that my group of friends have, they'll respect it more. I think if you look at age 12 to 24, soccer is their number two sport behind NBA. Or maybe third behind NBA and NFL. Actually, I think it might be number two. Like, I think the more European and Latin American soccer becomes prevalent on TV and easier to see and more access on the internet now, you know, there's something to, especially the way kids are now, like the youth only cares about what's popping, what's trending, you know what I mean? So like, yo, Atlanta music is popping. Every New York rapper sounds like an Atlanta rapper. Now Brooklyn drill is becoming popular. Oh, now people want to sound like Brooklyn drill, which is kind of like a derivative of UK drill because that was popping. It's like whatever's popping on the internet, people will attract to. Pulisic, Weston McKennie, when Tyler Adams, when those names become big names, when people see them flexing and shining and kind of hanging out with celebrities, that'll start to shift the culture because soccer is popping everywhere else in the world. I know kids that know that don't really know anything about MLS, but they know who Messi is. They know who Ronaldo is. They know who Mbappe is. You know what I mean? Because Mbappe, rappers talk about Mbappe. Jay-Z is with Mbappe. Lil Wayne is hanging out with Mbappe. People know, okay, Mbappe's popping. What's he doing? He's a soccer player? Oh, he plays for Paris? Oh, that's a dope jersey. I want to wear that. The Nigeria kit. There was hipsters, like whatever. We're waiting in line. Those are the types of things that I think will start to shift. So, like, where's MLS in that? Dude, I've said this from the beginning. I'll say it to the day I die. I met with Adidas once. And randomly, I was just hanging out at an event, and this person was like, oh, hey, do you know this person? No, they work for Adidas. I was like, what the fuck is wrong with y'all? Why are you giving us white tees?
You know what I mean?
And here's my thing. I'm like, and they're like, well, it's MLS chooses the, and I was like, okay, well then I need to sit down with all of MLS. The wilder your kids get, the more likely someone is willing to wear it that doesn't even know what soccer is. Like I've said this before, Houston Dynamo. No one knows what Houston Dynamo is outside of Houston, right? Or MLS fans. If they had a dope kit, there'd be some kid with a fanny pack over his shoulder, riding a skateboard, wearing, you know, Jordan sixes. That would, as long as it was matching, he'd wear a Houston Dynamo shirt. I'm like, that's where we need to get to. You know what I mean? Like, I wear a lot of funky kits, right? I'm a big dude, so I like to make it loud sometimes so you don't focus on the rolls. You know what I mean? you know? Right? Come on now. A lot of print. You know? But, like, when I wear stuff, people are like, yo, that's dope. Where'd you get that? And I'll know if they're not a soccer fan, right? Because I know them. I'm like, see? It's like, though, sometimes that little bit of, like, that little bit of fashion forward. Think two steps ahead. If we could do that, then people will start to really care about soccer. And I know it sounds counterproductive, but it's like people didn't like the NBA 10 years ago. It was struggling. You know what I mean? But yo, Splash Brothers changes everything. Drake got a Splash Brothers tattoo. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, he's a cornball, but like, that's what it takes. Like, you got to be flashy. You got to be big. Like, something big has to happen in MLS. Everyone still thinks it's players making $15,000 a year. We got to get beyond that, you know, and some of the European guys don't really have the appeal. Like Beckham was different because he was a sex symbol. You know what I mean? Yeah. But like people, somebody asked me, is Beckham still playing? It's like, Beckham's like 65, you know?
He knows the theme now, dude. Yeah. Like, come on.
Yeah, dude, come on. Like he's baking cookies with his kids on Instagram. The career's done, you know? But like, that's the kind of thing like people like, we need to sign a superstar. Nah, we need something dope to happen. Like we need like rappers to talk about us. We need like Instagram influencers to talk about us. That once we hit that part of the culture, like I told MLS people, like if you have players that are good on Instagram, you should be giving them bonuses, right? Like we should be having conversations with like other Instagram influencers back and forth. Like when people start seeing you in the mentions and stuff like that, like that's when stuff's going to start bubbling. You know, that's happened for Odell Beckham Jr. Why can't we have an Odell Beckham Jr. in soccer? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I've seen NYCFC try to do that. The Red Bulls, I haven't seen them try to bring anybody famous to the games and just, like, have them there just to hang out. Like, I've seen Remy Ma, Fat Joe at NYCFC games.
Yeah. Young M.A.
I think the only famous person the Red Bulls brought in was Lindsey Vonn, you know, because she's a Red Bull ambassador. Like, you know, like that, you know, that's how really, like, nonchalant they are about it. Like, I think NYCFC has done a good job. Atlanta has done a great job with
Atlanta. Atlanta's killing it, dude. But you know why? People want to wear that Atlanta kit.
It's fire, bro. It's
dude,
fire.
I was at Magic City, which is like their famous strip club down there. I went for the wings, by the way. It was just
I heard food in strip clubs is a lot better than anything.
Dude, the wings are fire. I didn't see everything else, but the wings. But the one thing I noticed is this dude's wearing a iced out, huge Cuban link chain. He's got a, I think it was like a Prezion. Like this dude's clearly got money. He looked like $1 million. I think he had Balenciaga sneakers on. I walked up to him and I was like, yo, wearing an Atlanta United kit. I was like, yo, dope kit. And he was like, huh? I was like, yo, the jersey. He's like, oh, yeah. He's like, yo, it's fire. I was like, I know. He's like, yo, I love the gold on it. We talked about the shirt for a hot minute. I was like, you ever been to a game? He's like, nah, man, but everyone I know goes. He's like, I got to get to it. He's like, I've never been to a soccer game before. But he's wearing the kit. Like, yo, how many people you know have never been to a soccer game but have an NYCFC or a Red Bull kit? Not many. Maybe they were getting it as a gift.
That's why we were hoping that the Red Bulls would do something with like the MetroStars like old kits, and you know, if you bring out those old stripe MetroStars kits, those will sell out.
You know, it's funny, when I was a kid, I used to think it was so corny, right? Like MetroStars, and it was all big and flashy, right? It was like there was nothing like, it didn't seem New Yorkish at all to me, or like even like East Coast. Like I'm from Newark, it didn't seem like it connected with me. I look back and I'm like, yo, those are so fire. With the little taxi on the bottom. With the lightning bolts. I always hated the M with the buildings coming out of it, but the across the chest MetroStars. There's a DJ called Trackstar who they just made him a kit. It's basically a bootleg version of the old MetroStars kit. It says Trackstar across the front. I was it's so fire, you know? Yeah. I feel bad because, you know, I was always like, man, they should change the name. You know, they should change the name. And then Red Bull, I was like, I didn't mean it like that, you know? Yeah. I will say, though, I feel like the team's done a better job of connecting it to the Red Bull brand, which has, like, a hip, you know, sort of mentality to it, you know? Like, I feel like they've done a better job. Like, we hosted the Neymar Fives in the parking lot at Red Bull Arena. Like, you know, they're which is a Red Bull event. Like, they're tying the Red Bull brand and the Red Bull soccer team a little more than they used to.
I just feel like they're maybe, like, one or two steps behind a lot of other teams that are now coming into them, like LAFC, Atlanta, Inter Miami,
Nashville.
Yeah, Nashville seems like an old MLS team to me. They feel. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how are you new and also behind the ball sometimes? Yeah. But I mean, yeah, I mean, looking at what Atlanta and LAFC have done and what I feel like Miami will do if this wasn't for a quarantine, I think you're starting to see like these are the people that want to spend money. These are the teams that are getting huge crowds. Like, dude, I was in LA. I got off the airplane and there was a security guy wearing an LAFC hat. And I was like, oh, nice hat. He's like, yeah, it's a new soccer team. I was like,
yeah, they actually care about it. And yeah. The rivalry there is ridiculous. Like, they hate each other, bro.
It's official. Dog, yeah. What was that? Jeff Gavea, who's a good friend of ours. He's like that artist that does a bunch of stuff. He did that big LAFC mural in the LA, and someone graffitied Galaxy where the LA of LAFC was the middle of the word Galaxy. And yeah. I was like, oh no. Like, the guy spent 2 weeks painting this beautiful thing. But it's like, that's the culture in LA. It's like, you put up, I knock down. You know what I mean? I love it. Like, and I feel bad because, like, everyone's like, LA Galaxy is for families. Like, yo, them Riot fans, like, they're a little wild sometimes. Yeah, it's not just families. But that rivalry, like, we were talking, one of the guys who hosts Corner of the Galaxy walked over to us while we were hanging out with LAFC fans to say hi. And a drunk dude was like, get the fuck out. You know, you're not supposed to be here. And one of our friends was like, no. They're just saying hi to the Cooligans. He's like, oh, the Cooligans are here? I was like, like, and it was cool. Like, that dude didn't get beat up just because we were there, because he came over to talk to us. And I was like, he goes, I shouldn't be here. I'm like, why'd you wear a Galaxy shirt?
You don't do that. You don't do that.
Tuck your chain, my guy.
So going back to your podcast, which is, you guys are hysterical. You guys are Thank you, man. Like, I sat there. My girlfriend's looking at me. She's like, what are you laughing about? I'm like, you don't understand. You just don't get it. It seemed like you guys had a lot of fun with Dax on this last episode. I'm putting you on the spot a little bit. Who has been your favorite soccer player that you guys have interviewed over this, you know, span that you guys have done the podcast?
It's always, you know, the first name that pops up, because it's still to this day is one of my favorite just conversations we've ever had, is Ali Krieger. Like, I was like a child in love. Like, I wanted to be related to her. I wanted to hang out with her. I wanted to get a 2-person bike and just bike around a park with her. I wanted to have a picnic. Like, I was just like, dude, she's the funniest person we've ever had on our show. And we've had comedians on our show. Like, when I think of what a soccer player is in my head, like, I think of big personalities and stuff, because that's how we see them. And sometimes, truthfully, they're very media trained. They're very dull. You know, they answer like very quickly, one words, or they respect their opponent, yada, 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 all that kind of stuff. Yo, Krieger came out like, scrat, like, yo, this is trash, and I love this. And I was like, yes. And she had bits like, you know, like, I always tell before, like, peek behind the curtain, before any interview starts, I tell the person, like, Christian and I are going to be silly. We're going to be telling jokes. And what we do is we riff off each other. So I'll heighten it, and then he heightens it, and then I'll heighten it. Yep. And I'll take what he said, and I'll heighten it. And he takes what I said, and he heightens it. And that's what we, like, we always, like, it's called yes-anding in improv. Like, we never tear down what the other person said, or so, unless it's even funnier to do that. We take what they say and add something to it. So it's like, it's putting pressure on them to come up with something else. And that's what, when we go on those runs, that's when I think that's the magic of Cooligans. Ali Krieger, we usually say, like, just sit back and wait, and then you could finish your sentence when we're done, if we do get on those runs. Don't don't feel any pressure. You're not a comic. Don't feel any pressure to come in and joke. And she was like, I'm ready to go. And like, we started joking. She's like, and this, and we were like, yo, that's funny too. And we were like, yo, Krieger. Like, it was by the end of it, we were like hugging and high-fiving to this day. I mean, I think Ramesh Ranganathan, who's a huge comedian in England, who's probably the funniest person we've ever had on our show, but to blend with us, Ali Krieger.
That's awesome. All right, Alexis, can you tell our listeners where they can find you guys at?
At Soccer Cooligans on everything, because we say soccer because it's America and I don't mind it. All right, we rep for what we got. When I'm in Europe, I'll say football. When I'm in Latin America, I say football. When I'm in America, whatever, soccer. And it just gives us a chance to be stupid and fight back at English people who hates us anyway when it comes to soccer. So whatever. Mm-hmm. If y'all ain't going to respect us, then we going to respect us. So you at Soccer Cooligans on everything. You could watch us on Fubo at Fubo Sports, Fubo Soccer, FuboSportsNetwork.com. You can watch the whole network for free. It's constantly just streaming. It's free as if you got the Fubo service. You don't even have to pay for the Fubo service. Our network will pop up. You could get it on Samsung Smart TVs and Rokus, everywhere. Anywhere you want, you could watch our show, or you could just listen to the podcast every Wednesday. But we're on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 p.m. In every area code, we come on at 8 p.m.
Awesome. Thank you for coming on the show again. We appreciate you.
I'm glad you got that Liverpool ball, man. Finally.
Thank you.
I appreciate it, man. We appreciate it very much. Thanks for taking the time out.
Absolutely. No, man. This means a lot to me. Thanks for having me on.